It was at best a suck.
Welcome.
At worst, just a little lick.
Welcome the new boy.
Young'uns Podcast. Previously on the Young'uns Podcast.
Festival hasn't even started. Michael Hughes nearly got arrested and now he's lambasted a police officer.
It's a rough year for me. Legal battles with world folk artists and kazoo playing children. There's a lot more hat molecules in the atmosphere since we started doing teleportation and people are a little bit annoyed about it.
It wasn't easy being a coonie. Growing up in the suburbs of Stockton.
All of Thursday, all of Friday, all of Saturday, all of Sunday and more or less all of Monday because we're not going to get back till 8 o'clock. That's 5 days without a shit, you idiot! How are you going to do that?
I think we should do a little jingle to introduce people to the podcast.
Here we are.
Okay. Hello, my name's David Eagle.
Where's Michael Hughes?
My name's Katie Romley.
Have you got him?
I'm Lucy Wright.
And we're on the Speedway. The 20th Century Speedway.
Welcome to the 105th Young'uns Podcast. This week, we shall be rejoining our friends Kirsty Bromley, a solo folk artist, and Lucy Wright from the folk group Pilgrim's Way, once more on the 20th Century Speedway, a roller coaster that was inhabiting the Holmfirth Festival, I think it was. As well as that, due to the success of our last soundscape item, which is it was a brilliant soundscape item, sort of electroacoustic item that we provided you with, the sounds of my stomach rumbling. Well, due to the success of that and the positive feedback, the overwhelming positive feedback that we got from that. This week, some rather obscure snoring from a friend of ours. I was woken up by a friend of ours snoring, and I thought, the immediate thing I thought, of course, was, oh, I better record this for the Young'uns Podcast. The listeners will love this, which is exactly what I duly did, and I'm going to bring it to you on this week's Young'uns Podcast. That's the kind of top-class journalist that I am. The Young'uns attended the Gate to Southwell Festival near Nottingham, and we were quite surprised to find that we'd been put on the programme to do a harmony workshop. I was only aware of this the day before, so we had no chance really to prepare anything, and a rather ramshackulous event it turned out to be. You will have the privilege of joining myself and Michael Hughes at a urinal as we analyse one of the posters advertising something on the wall of the toilets. It seems to be a prerequisite that every time the Young'uns do a festival or a gig, we have to have an Indian meal. And so many Young'uns podcasts, I'm sure, will be bringing you recordings from Indian restaurants as we try different curries, different exciting dishes, and I think that'll be an excellent civilised feature on the Young'uns podcast. It might not sound particularly civilised when you consider that the following line from Sean Cooney makes up part of our feature.
It was at best a suck, at worst, just a little lick.
Well, you can find out what that's all about, ladies and gentlemen. It's something to do with Indian food, I would imagine, David. Yes, it is, but what is being sucked or what is being licked? Oh, my goodness. We'll find out later on, my goodness. If your ears are serving you correctly, in the background you should be able to hear a loop of Gavin Davenport, who this week is our folky special guest. We'll have a couple of tracks from him, and we'll have a little bit of a chat with him as well. And as well as that, musically, we also have a song from the Young'uns. In fact, there's not much point prefacing that one, because we're going to play it right now. Now, we hadn't performed this song for about 5 years or something before we performed it at the Holmfirth Festival, I think it was. But it was one of the smaller gigs that we did, and we just thought, why not just give it a go and we'll see what happens. And this is what happened. This is the Graham Miles song, Ring of Iron.
Sky, smoke up in the sky,
Miles, the Ring of Iron, is sang by the Young'uns at the Holmforth Festival. And that performance came from something called Meet the Young'uns, where basically people get the chance to ask questions about how we got together and are we gay, and other questions that the world wants to know. And I always find those a little bit disconcerting, because you never know what to... I mean, we're not the type of people to overanalyze. We're very down-to-earth people. I'm sure you've probably gathered that from the podcast. We don't like to spend too long talking about things. We don't like to spend too long overanalyzing or anything like that. Well, of course, unless it comes to stomach rumblings, in which case we're quite happy to spend 15 minutes, you know, talking about stomach rumblings. But, I mean, there's got to be an exception to the rule, and I think that's a fairly excusable exception. So it's very odd when we have to analyse what we do. And this was another occasion where we had to analyse what we did a couple of weeks ago at the Gates to Southwell Festival, when we were asked to do a harmony workshop, which we also found a bit disconcerting because we hadn't got a clue what we were going to do, as the next few minutes of audio is going to testify, I'm sure. We're going to intersperse our presence at the harmony workshop throughout the podcast, and this is part one.
Well, this is a little bit disconcerting. We found out the day before going to the Southwell Festival, we looked in the programme and we realised that the young'uns are meant to be doing a workshop. And we thought, oh my God, what the hell, what kind of workshop is this? Turns out we're doing a harmony workshop, and there's a whole page of what the workshop involves. Like, it's all been meticulously planned. What the trouble is, it hasn't been meticulously planned. We haven't got a clue what we're about to do. and we just thought there'd be like a few people kind of milling around coming to see our harmony workshop. There's a massive queue. There's a massive queue of about 100 people all going to fit into this room. We've just been told now by the organisers that it might have to spill into the bigger room because there's so many people queuing up.
Is that what they said?
And we haven't got a clue what we're doing. Everyone's probably waiting, thinking this is revolutionary. The young ones are going to dispel all the myths and tell us all their secrets about harmony. And we haven't got a clue what we're going to be doing.
Hello.
Hello.
Sean Cooney.
And that's all I got planned for today.
Well, before we start with maybe a couple of songs, and feel free to join in, and then we'll just busk it. Because to be honest, we didn't know we were doing a harmony workshop till yesterday, so. And the way it's written on the thing as well, because it's great reading what you're meant to be doing. It's written, how is it worded? It's worded really meticulously, like the fine mechanics of harmony. Myth will be dispelled by the young'uns. Yeah.
I had to look up half the words on the iPhone.
I know, harmony.
What
the heck is
happening? I have no clue.
Oh, dear. Anyway, so we had to go on a harmony workshop with the Wilsons yesterday just to find out what happened.
So, what is a harmony, Dave?
Because when I first started singing folk songs, I didn't really know what harmony was.
Well, how do you describe a harmony?
It's too scripted for me.
Everyone knows what a harmony is. Basically, you know, people are singing different things, John.
Different words, different...
different tunes, overlapping, contrapuntality. No, you were right though, because I mean, at the start, when we first started going to our local folk club, the Sunny in Stockton, we were absolutely blown away by what was going on. It was crazy, you know, just sort of ordinary people. I mean, it's not very, very snobbish, but you know what I mean? It's people sort of just getting together after a day's work, and just kind of all getting together and just singing these songs that we'd never heard of before, and doing these wonderful harmonies. And it's
well, I didn't really know what harmony was, and I remember sitting next to this guy, and he was singing away, and I was saying. He's singing something completely different.
He's got to be the worst singer in the history.
What on earth is he doing? And it was Dave.
Thank you, Dave. I didn't see that one coming.
Yeah, so, and lots of people always ask us, how do you work out your harmonies? Do you write them down or practice? But with us, it's just something that's kind of developed, I suppose, that the more you sing a song, I suppose it, for lots of folk songs, that's the way they kind of happen. The more times you sing them, then, you know, someone might be singing it slightly different, a slightly different tune, and then suddenly it becomes...
Well, that's quite interesting, because sometimes you get accidental harmonies, because there's a lot of folk songs that have completely different... So one person knows one tune and one person knows another, and, you know, the harmonies just organically happen. But, I mean, to be honest, it's kind of... Well, look, I never thought about... I don't want to dispel, but people might think that we... No, because people might think that we have, like, go to a harmony factory and it's all...
We woke up this morning and I said, oh, so what are we going to start off? And Dave said, oh, well, we'll do some vocal warm-ups. I said, well, we never do vocal warm-ups.
We do. There's 3 pints of beer and then we're off.
Well, that is part of it, because if you do, you know, the kind of, if you're in a folk club and you're doing a spot, you know, you're warming yourself up by singing, joining in the band. So that's just what I've also found interested in folk music, how harmonies, like compared to other types of music, where the harmony would like support the melody, the actual song, harmonies just compete with each other. So when we've been learning songs or learning songs from other people in folk clubs, it's been quite hard sometimes to tell what the melody actually is, because the harmonies are so strong, they like compete with each other.
And it's not like finally written or anything like that, like you get with a choir. You know, it's all just kind of in your face a lot of the time.
That's a quote for the website, isn't it? Yeah. So, Victory Hard Times, a bit of intricate harmonies.
Intricate harmonies, my goodness. Well, no, there's different types. I mean, there's different types of harmony. One, obviously, we've been doing singing folk songs, and there's the whole English tradition and things like that. We've sort of grown up listening to the Watersons and so was the Copper Family and things like that.
Well, it's interesting. Yeah, they don't mind me.
No, feel free to interrupt.
I don't know how, you know, they're...
Harmony, I mean, because it's seen, I mean, we're always like seen as, oh, they're very traditional, the Youngins, but harmonies themselves in English folks, I mean, they aren't really that traditional. I mean, the Copper family must be the exception to that, that traditional singing family from Rotten Dean down on the South Coast. But their harmonies are kind of, you can hear...
Just cobbled together, right?
Well, no, well, you can... you can very much hear the church influence in it, you know, the very kind of hymnal almost. Whereas, so then the Watersons, who were kind of one of the kind of benchmark, it seems, for like harmony singing like us. The songs they sang, they weren't, you know, they didn't get them from traditional like harmony source singers. There wasn't really any of them. They just kind of developed their own way of doing it. So you know, and people say that, oh yeah, harmonies, sea shanties. You know, we sing about sea shanties and harmonies, but really, when you think about it, sea shanties wouldn't have been. Yeah. I mean, it wouldn't have been sung most of the time. It's been shouted.
Or the wind and then.
Yeah, but it's good how things develop like that.
Well,
that's
actually
quite good.
Anyway, I knew this was a bad idea.
Anyway, what we're going to do is we're going to sing, because it's not only sort of raw harmonies, but we went to Holland, and there was a brilliant group that we had who come from Poland. They're completely different, and do you know the song Hard Times? Stephen Foster. Well, we're going to sing a version now. That there we heard them do of Hard Times, and it's completely different. The folk scene over there and the maritime scene over there is completely different, and they are really ornate harmonies. I mean, in the middle of shanties, where, you know, there's Round the Bay of Mexico, and it's Round the Bay of Mexico, why up there's the island. You know, that's how the southern sea shanty singers would do it. You've got the police going Round the Bay of Mexico, this is a kind of an adaptation of Hard Times that they did, and we're going to try and do it. So
slightly different. Yes.
Well, we've got Hard Times coming up very shortly, but I think before that, it was only about 10 minutes ago, it was less than 10 minutes ago, for goodness sake, since you had the last folk song. And I don't want people getting the wrong idea. I don't want people to think this is a folk podcast, for goodness sake, heaven forbid that. So I think we'll have a couple of minutes, and then we'll move on to Hard Times from the Southwell Festival. But before that, we've been to all sorts of different festivals. Southwell, Holmfirth, Shepley, Liverpool, and a lot of things happen at those festivals, as you'd imagine. And we don't have the time. We just don't have time to bring you everything. But there are a few things that we just must bring you on the Young'uns podcast from that happen at these festivals. There's just paramount things. Stomach rumbling, yes, of course, that's one. Snoring, yes, we'll get to that shortly, listeners. Observations from male toilets urinals. I think that's another one. And I'm sure you will agree as well. You'll all be saying, thank goodness he's got his priorities right here. So then we join Michael Hughes and myself at a urinal at Shepley Festival. Oh, even better, David, a urinal at Shepley Festival. I mean, I thought Holmfirth would have been good, but Shepley, even better. This is going to be brilliant. Well, here we go, listeners.
Well, this is going to be... one of the strangest places to be poised right now, attempting to bring in this little prop. Explain where we are, Michael Lewis.
The toilet.
We're in the toilet, standing next to the urinal, and we have, on the wall, we have an advert, a poster advert, and it's, what does it say, Michael Lewis? Read it out.
When did you last see your old man?
Well, the good news is that the old man's still down there, just missing in action. And better still, we can reacquaint the two of you very quickly, safely, and for the rest of your life. Our weight loss programme.
It's called the main plan. It's fast, it's safe, it's sustainable, and it works.
That's my job line. That's my job line. It's fast, it's safe, it's sustainable, and it works. Well, kind of.
There's a brilliant... The last bit, it's gone on about men, blah, 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 blah. And then it just sees itself fit, even though it's got a big fat man stood there.
Yeah.
It sees itself fit to have this big badge that says, designed specifically for men.
I'm thinking, well, couldn't women join in, though?
Hang on.
Well, you get a mentor. A mentor? A mentor, words. Where you'll meet like-minded blokes sharing the same experiences
of their manhood
and achieving the same goals.
Oh my God.
So is there like a phone number there? Because I mean, people are listening to this going, I don't know why they're talking so flippantly about this. There's no phone number.
How do you do it then?
Oh, that's going to disappoint a lot of people who are there wanting to take advantage of the man plan, but unfortunately aren't able to. We'll research that. Maybe go to manplan.com.
So while people are surfing the internet there for manplan.com, but I'm sure we have the perfect accompaniment for your man plan browsing as we present you with the young'uns back at the Harmony Workshop at the Gate to Southwold Festival singing Hard Times.
Let us pause in life's pleasures to count its many tears while we all sup sorrow with the poor. There's a song that will linger forever in our ears. Oh, hard times come again no more. 'Tis the song, the sigh of the weary. Hard times come again no more. Many days you have lingered around my door. Oh, hard times come again no more. While we seek mirth and beauty in music bright and gay, there are frail forms fainting at the door. Though their voices are silent, their pleading looks still say, oh, hard times come again no more.
Again no more.
'Tis the song, the sigh of the weary. Hard times come again no more. Many days you have lingered around my door. Oh, hard times come again no more. There's a pale drooping maiden who toils her life away with a warm heart whose better days are all. Though her voice would be merry, it's sighing all the day. Oh, hard times come again no more. 'Tis the song, the sigh of the wind. Hard times come again no more. Many days you have lingered around my door. Oh, hard times come again no more. 'Tis a sigh that is wafted across the troubled waves. 'Tis a wail that is heard upon the shore. 'Tis a dirge that is murmured around her lonely grave. Oh, hard times come again, no come again no more. 'Tis the song, the sigh of the wind. Hard times come again no more. Yeah. Many days you have lingered around my door. Oh, hard times come again no more.
Come again no more.
'Tis the song, the sigh of the weary. Hard times come again no more. Yeah. Many days you have lingered around my door. home again no more. Oh, hard times.
Come again no more.
Hard Times by Stephen Foster, sang by the Young'uns. At the Harmony Workshop at the Gate Southwell Festival, where we shall return forthwith.
And it's cheer up, me lads, let your hearts never fail, for the Young'uns podcast's here and it's going to prevail.
So this is a friend who I won't name, just in case they're a little bit embarrassed about this snoring, and they were staying with us at one of the festivals, and we were all sharing a room. And all I will say about this snoring is it does nothing to quell people's ideas that we might be gay. You'll hear what I mean when you hear the noises that are emanating from this man. And it's not like we were alone. We were sharing a floor with quite a few people, a lot of festival goers and a lot of folk artists who might have been hearing these sounds emanating from our room, thinking there was something else going on, you know, but it wasn't. It was snoring. But you'll hear what I mean when I play this. So this is 30 seconds, just the 30-second highlights. I do have a 45-minute recording, if anybody is interested, but these are the 30-second highlights. It's very difficult to sum it up. I mean, you wouldn't condense the Ring Cycle into a 3-minute, 30-second pop song. I feel that this is a little bit trite, doing this. But, you know, there'll be some people out there who don't want to hear the full thing. But anyway, this is 30 seconds of some rather unusual snoring that was emanating from our room by one of our friends. Anyway, it's about time to find out where this line comes from that started our podcast this week.
It was at best a suck, at worst, just a little lick.
Oh my goodness. I mean, that line, if you play that line that Sean's just said there over the top of the snoring.
It was at best a suck, at worst, just a little lick.
Oh, yes, I think I found my niche. Young'uns Porn, absolutely brilliant. Put a bit of classical music over the top of that. Anyway, it's time to join the Young'uns in an Indian restaurant at Shepley Festival.
What the heck is going on? We're currently in an Indian restaurant. And I...
Use his face, his tongues.
Michael, use his face, his tongues? What?
Michael Hills has just been bet by Mr. Joe to have one bite of this really hot chilli for £10, and he did, and his tongue nearly fell out.
Shall we have a little... have a conversation with him. How are you doing, Michael?
I'm very well, Davis. I'm just awaiting my £10 here.
I think you need to have another bite of the chilli. Oh, God. Michael Hughes. Oh. So Michael Hughes. Did he not bite it?
He didn't bite it.
Mike, get biting it. Don't lick it. Don't lick it. Bite it. That's how I want to.
Why wouldn't you use that?
That's the motto of the podcast.
Come on, bite it. I've just had five.
Come on, bite it.
I've had five seeds, Davis.
Bite it, you idiot. Come on, Michael.
I've had five seeds. At least £2 a seed.
Get biting. Are you going to bite it or not?
I'm going to bite it, Davis.
No, I'm going to bite it. No, come on, Michael. Bite it. Is he biting, Sean?
He's not.
He refuses to bite.
Baiting taking place.
Absolutely terrible, Michael Hughes.
It was at best a suck, at worst, just a little lick.
That's going to go in brackets. The Youngins Podcast 105. It was at best a suck, at worst a lick.
There was no teeth involved.
I've got to start the podcast.
I mean, exactly. I've just had a lovely dish called, and we all three of us have here, apart from Michael Hughes, we've had a chicken schletti jaljul. And it was absolutely brilliant. It was cooked in a clay oven, and I could definitely taste that. And it had... definitely taste the clay oven. And it had chilli pickle in it, and it was, oh, it was pretty hot. But Michael Hughes had a korma. And bearing in mind, I pronounced the meal, I pronounced it in an authentic Indian accent, and I was praised by the Indian waiter on my accent. So Michael thought he'd try and be authentic, and he asked for a chicken korma, which didn't quite work, Michael, in the same way. Now, when the name Gavin Davenport is mentioned, I'm sure for some people, the following noise will probably be elicited. It's a very exciting moment, as in a few minutes we present an interview with Gavin Davenport. But before that, let's have some music from him. This is from his latest album, Brief Lives. This is Jolly Ball Drobber.
Come all you good people that go out to tippling, I pray you give attention and listen to my song, and I'll sing you a ditty of a jolly bold robber, stood 7 feet high, in proportion quite strong. Well, he robbed Lawyer Morgan and old Lady Dawkins, 500 bright guineas from each one of them. And as he was a-strolling, he spied a young sailor, and bold as a lion, he slewed up to him. Hand over your money, you saucy young sailor, you've plenty of bulk in your pockets, I know. Aye, says the sailor, I've plenty of money, but I'm damned if I see why I give to you. For I've just left my ship, gave the press gang the slip, and I'm bound up to London, my sweetheart to see. I've 2 bright sovereigns for to pay our sweet lodgings, and I pray you, bold robber, just leave them to me. But the robbers caught hold of that gallant young sailor, with a blow like a poleaxe felled him to the ground. Aye, aye, says the sailor, you've struck me quite heavy, but now I'll endeavour to repay you in kind. So like lightning they stripped, and like tigers they skipped, and they fought blow for blow like 2 soldiers in the field. At the 92nd meeting, it was the completing, and then that bold robber by the sailor was killed. Then the sailors looked down on that blood-stained old robber. I hope you'll forgive me, old fellow, says he. But if I had just lifted 1,000 bright guineas, I'm damned if I'd have stopped a poor sailor like me.
The Jolly Robber, Gavin Davenport. And that's not obviously Gavin's nickname, that's the name of the track that you've just heard. Excellent. Right then, so let's start then from the inception of your folk career, or why you decided to get into folk music in the first place.
Weirdly, it was for free sandwiches and cheap beer. When I was a student in Liverpool,
I just got
fed up with going out clubbing all the time, and because my mum and dad had been folkies, I decided that I'd take a chance and go down to the local folk club, get out in the student scene for a bit. And I found that when you got there, you got free butties at half time, free chips. Someone bought me a pint for singing a song, and I didn't have to pay to get in because I was a singer. So this seemed like a pretty cheap night out to me. So I kind of carried on going, really. And that was the big start.
So literally, have you now, bearing in mind you originally did it because you were seduced by the free sandwiches and the beer, is that still the reason you do it, or do you actually like the music nowadays, Gavin?
The the music certainly has an interest for me as well.
It's sort of an ancillary.
I'm still pretty interested in beer and sandwiches.
An ancillary part, perhaps. What did your friends make of this thing? Because presumably they were all still clubbing. Was there a bit of peer pressure there, Gavin? Or were you so cool that you immediately turned off all your folk?
They immediately thought that I was desperately uncool and that all I did was sing finger in the ear, beardy folk music, and they were all into acid jazz and funk and techno and all of those kind of other things that the late 90s had in store. When I was kind of first getting into stuff, there weren't a lot of other people of my age around, and I suppose, you know, there wasn't like a group of people who I could have formed a band with or any of that. Certainly, because I was at university in Liverpool and I expected there to be a really good music scene over there, and there was to some degree, but it was mostly people wanting to be in sort of guitar bands and indie bands, and folk music wasn't really something that there was that much of, certainly, you know, with people of sort of my own age.
That presumably now has changed, I would imagine.
Yeah, I mean, I moved from Liverpool at the end of my degree back to Sheffield and studied folklore at the university here. I did a master's here, and there was a really big folk society at Sheffield University. There were about 500 members at one point, so there were loads of sessions going on, and it was a bit of a revelation, really, having felt like a bit of an oddball and an outsider in one city to move 70 miles away and then find that there were, you know, loads of people having Kayleys every fortnight and sessions every week and singing and dancing and all that stuff. And nice to be a bit more normal, I suppose.
So when did the actual festival performances and the folk clubs and all of that start taking off?
When I moved to Sheffield, that was probably 1999, met Jess and Richard Arrowsmith, who I play with in Kayley band called Hecate. Through knowing them, got to know Helena, and we formed Crucible as a four-piece. And by, I guess, 2003, we got invited to go and play at some festivals in Canada. And in the run-up to that, we decided it'd probably be a good idea if we made a CD to take over there and sell when we were there. We got a deal with Wild Goose Records and recorded a couple of albums with them over the next couple of years. But during that time, you know, we had something to send out suddenly, and bookings started coming in. And I think just having toured overseas gave us a bit more confidence about sort of chasing gigs once we got back to the UK. So it's coming up to 10 years now, I guess, that I've been doing down the UK.
And now you're still with Crucible, but you've branched out and you're now doing your solo performances as well. So how have you found that then? Because we were talking at a festival about the fact that before, obviously, you were doing this semi-professionally, and you did all sorts of jobs. You were a teacher at one point, so you were doing all of that while sort of juggling the music, and then you made a decision to stop that and to go full-time professional. So what on earth led to that decision, and how are you finding that now?
I mean, I suppose the decision was pretty much prompted by the fact that you hit a break point where the great thing about being a teacher is you get these whopping great long holidays. You get like 13 weeks a year off, and they coincide with most of the main times when you want to be playing at a festival, because obviously festivals are organised around other people's holiday times, and especially people with kids. So you're always free to go and work. But I ended up where I was doing the day job and then rehearsing in an evening and getting to a weekend and going away and gigging and then getting to half term or a holiday, and I'd either be touring or we'd be in the studio. And there was just one year where I don't think I properly got a day off for nearly the whole year, and I was just feeling completely burned out.
Yeah.
And it just seemed like, you know, now was a good time with doing the solo record, which sort of congealed, really. It wasn't a deliberate thing that I set out to do. I just thought, it'd be probably quite a good idea to get some of these songs down. And by the time I was halfway through recording the record, I'd got gigs off the back of the early demos, and I just thought, well, you know, it's a good time to do it now or never, really.
So, bearing in mind we are currently in that situation that you describe, how long do you give it then before, bearing in mind we've probably been doing this now, well, Mike's been doing it as a teacher probably for the last 3 or 4 years, and we're probably getting more and more gigs, how long do you give it then before we all reach breaking point? When will we have our nervous breakdown? Because if you can tell me to the exact minute and second, we can record it for the Youngins podcast.
Yeah, well, unfortunately for me, I don't think I kind of spotted it coming, and I was pretty burned out at one point and was quite ill from work, and I just thought, you know, is it too much to kind of do both? And it was either sort of knock the music on the head in any kind of even semi-professional level, or knock work on the head. And I guess just because I wasn't enjoying work as much as I was enjoying the music, it was a bit of a no-brainer. But I think it is just really easy, and, you know, I've talked to quite a few people where they found that it's just too much to try and juggle both after a point. But you know when you're there, I guess.
Right. Okay. We'll keep an eye open, and we'll keep the listeners informed of how we do. I'm all right at the moment. But this interview would have been 10 times better had I not have just come from a full time job, and a 2-hour bus journey. But never mind. What kind of things have influenced you then in terms of what you perform and the kind of music that you like to listen to and do?
Well, I mean, my background really is sort of. Growing up, I wasn't really into listening to loads of traditional music. It was something that was always there in the house, and my parents are both folky, so I was really aware of traditional music and always liked it. But in terms of buying records myself, I think the first records I bought were all sort of rock and heavy metal things, and I guess I've always been influenced by that, even into my folk music now. So I've always liked stuff that had got a grungy edge to it. I'm not really fussed about stuff that's dead clean and polished and super pretty harmonies. I'd rather something had a bit of balls to it, I suppose, for want of a better word. And I quite like things that tell a story. I guess if you look at some of the songs on the album On Brief Lives, a lot of them are kind of not a million miles removed from a lot of 80s heavy metal songs. It's lots of things about fighting and dying and people being doomed and all of that kind of stuff.
Websites, Gavin, and information where people can find you and all that kind of thing.
Yes, the incredibly imaginatively chosen www.gavindavenport.com.
Before we go, let me just go, would you like to choose a track from the album, Gavin? It seems a bit self-righteous for me to pick one. It's your album, after all.
Well, it would seem even more self-promoting for me to pick one. What would I like? I don't know, you put me on the spot.
Well, you're not going to hear it, Gavin, so it doesn't really matter, to be honest. You're not actually going to hear the song. As soon as you go, I'm going to cut you off. We're not really actually friends, are we? We're just a purely professional relationship. No.
I mean, acquaintances. Let me think.
When you said mere acquaintances, I was looking for the track on the album, and I was thinking, what? There's no track. I didn't realise what you were doing.
that's on my Jazz Fusion record.
That's where the acid influence is going on there.
Absolutely, that's right, yeah. It was all mostly clarinet solos on that. I haven't a clue which track you should play.
Shall I press the shuffle button and we'll just see what happens? And it'll probably play the Jolly Old Robber again. Excellent, Gavin. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Bye.
Snow white bird I saw all sitting up above my door, ding dong di do, all sitting up above my door, ding dong day. Go be a witness to my Lord, go be a witness to my Lord. Though small you be, yet fast you move, ding dong di do. Though small you be, yet fast you move, ding dong day. Oh, tell me, will you find your tell me, will you find your way? Yes, I can be there this same day, ding dong di do. Yes, I can be there this same day, ding dong day. She took my message in her claw. She took my message in her claw, and then on tiny wings did soar, ding dong di do. And then on tiny wings did soar, ding dong day. straight to my lover's keep. She flew straight to my lover's keep. Are you awake, dead or asleep? Ding dong, guide door. Are you awake, dead or asleep? Ding dong, six months I have been wed, ding dong died ho. But these 6 months I have been wed, ding dong day. Just 6 long months you've been away. Just 6 long months you've I thought it were a thousand lives, ding dong died oh. I thought it were a thousand lives, ding dong sitting up above my door, ding dong died oh. Oh, sitting up above my door, ding dong dead.
So that was our first guest on the Young'uns podcast. We'll have another guest on the Young'uns podcast next time. Could even be Lucy Wright from Pilgrim's Way or Kirsty Bromley, who we join right now on the 20th Century Speedway, a roller coaster that I think was at the Holmfirth Festival. And we decided to go on this. Kirsty Bromley was actually performing in 15 minutes' time. And she was a little bit nervous because she hasn't performed very much. And she was performing on the main stage and she was a bit nervous. And we said, and she was jumping around trying to release nervous tension. And we said, we know just the thing to release nervous tension. But unfortunately, she didn't agree to the first thing that we had in mind. So we suggested instead she might like to go on the 20th Century Speedway. Oh, God.
Okay, then. So, Michael Hughes, firstly, what was your highlight of the festival other than the Speedway, my friend?
Well, apart from the Speedway, yes.
It's going fairly slow.
The Bellowhead last night was absolutely superb.
It was.
I thoroughly enjoyed it.
There was a dog on the front that was jumping around in time to the music. The owner was throwing, had a stick, and he was lifting the stick up, and the dog would jump right up in the air to the rhythm of the songs.
Oh,
absolutely brilliant, it was.
Beautiful.
Yes.
Interview them, David. Interview
them. Okay, well, we're going to I think it's picking up speed now. It's too fast already for them. You want to get off? Well, now's not the time or the place. Lucy. Here we are, we're picking up speed, so then, tell me, Lucy from Pilgrim's Way, tell me what kind of a group your group is. How did you first get started?
We're a group from Stockport in the northwest.
Right, okay.
Place to meet.
Excellent.
I reckon.
And you didn't know each other then, you just started singing songs?
Yeah, basically, I've got Tom Kinchin in my band, who's a player, you know, he plays with Graham Bartley, and I've got Edwin Bazant, who's our multi-mental instrumentist.
Multi-mental?
As we call him. He's boxing. We're singing together. I sing and I play the doozer as well.
Excellent. Well, you'll hear more
probably can't hear a word she's saying at the moment. You'll hear more from her later in later podcasts. But now let's move over to
murder
ballad singer Kirsty Bromley. So Kirsty, you're about to perform in 15 minutes on the main stage, completely on the 20th Century Speedway. How are you feeling about the gig?
Very nervous. I'm very scared. I'm slightly travel-sick.
You were jumping up and down quite profusely earlier because you were trying to release nervous tension. Would you say this is a more adequate way of doing that?
I would say so. I would definitely say so.
Excellent. Oh, what's going on here, Michael?
No, we're just... No, she's okay. She's okay. Just some child was wanting to get off.
Oh, child wants to get off. That's Sean Cooney.
Yeah, dear. Okay.
Right, let's have a song all together. Right, as we go back around. So,
what's up, man? He's asleep as a Jew. Sweet, lovely Nancy. He's a Jew.
Lucy
out. I was giving Sean a wave and I just knocked Lucy out. She may be not performing. Oh,
dear.
Only 10 minutes to go before you've got to perform, Bromley.
Perhaps you should do all of our interviews with guests on roller coasters. Anyway, you'll be pleased to hear that Kirsty Bromley and Lucy Wright will be future guests on the Young'uns podcast. I might even make their stomachs up. It's back to the Harmony Workshop for you.
I'm going to do Yellow Girls now. So this is an excellent one. Yeah, so basically, feel free to do things. So feel free to just kind of provide some rhythms.
Let's
or,
run through the chorus, because the chorus is...
Hold notes on.
Hurrah, the Yellow Girls, doodle, let me go.
We do that twice, we do the chorus twice.
So you want to do a verse...
And that's not a racist thing, that's that the Yellow Girls were the... With the prostitutes in places like Valparaiso and in Chile and
so it's not racist, it's sexist. Like, so sorry.
Yeah.
So we'll do it and then we'll sort of have a little tick. Feel free to have a little bit of a tinker with it.
Well, should we run through the chorus so everyone gets into it?
Well, yeah. Well, yeah, good idea. Well, let's do one verse and then do one chorus. Right. Michael. We'll. Here we go then.
As I rolled out one morning down by the riverside, hurrah, hey! The yellow girls to let me go. There I saw a yellow girl swimming in the tide.
Hurrah, the yellow girls to let me go. To let me go, me girls, to let me go. Hurrah, the yellow girls to let me go. To let me go.
Because this was one of the first songs where I was, because for ages I wasn't confident enough to do harmonies when I wasn't drunk. And I was attempted for the first time like a high harmony on this, and so I got. Hey, the yellow girls, don't let me go.
We call it the Dalek.
The Dalek.
Yeah.
I said,
if anyone wants to just do that, you just literally hold the same note on.
Well, that's what I'll be doing.
So if you want to do a Dalek solo, meanwhile.
Well, let's run through those parts then. So that was the melody we just did.
Are you going to be your Davros? Okay.
What do you do, Bills?
Oh, I don't care. I did the bass.
Hurrah, me other girls, don't let me go.
It does seem pretty boring when you just compartmentalise it.
Yeah.
It does, yeah. Very clinical. Someone can do the Dr. Phil. Oh, Dr. Phil, work over the top.
girl, let me go, me girl.
Revolutionary in the corner there, isn't there?
Doing that in future. Commission that man does
that. Anyway.
Do a really good version
of that. That's you, actually.
Who?
Yeah. Learn it. He's got like the Beach Boys bit,
though. Well, I'll tell you what we'll do.
Do you think we'll give it a go for the next song?
Absolutely, yeah.
You can all join in, we'll see how it goes. But for now... Okay. So. Would you like to do a counting, Dalek?
Oh, dear. Oh, it's a bit of a change up there. Usually called Dalek.
All of the same in my book. Well, it's not what
I'm saying. I'm fantasy.
You know
you're saying
that, why?
You
said to me the other week, so why
do
people think we're gay? This is exactly why.
This is the lady to dress up as a Dalek, my God. This is a comedy
workshop. As I rolled down one morning down by the riverside, she's down in Calais.
Hurrah, me
yellow
girls, do let me go.
A knocking shop, come on, cause she's a place you all shall go. She's a place you all should go.
Hurrah, me yellow girls, do let me go.
Now we're back to Liverpool and give the boys a show.
Hurrah, me yellow girls, do let me go. Do let me go, me girls, do let me go.
Cheeky, cheeky. It's the little cheeky bit at the end coming up very shortly, which this week, of course, will be our Doctor Who theme tune, our attempts to sing the Doctor Who theme tune. But before that... So, a man has just come up to us and he's saying, oh, it's been... I've got to tell you this story, lads. This friend of his has been spreading the word, the glory of our folk group.
I've been spreading the word about you to everybody. I've been to all the festivals. I've been putting the word out on Facebook. I've been I've been telling people to book you and research you and things like that. And then, but the only slight problem was the group he's been telling everyone to look for is the Young Onions. So there's all these people, but we'll have to research the Young Onions. But we are the Young Onions. We might have to change our name. People ask us what we're going to call ourselves when we can't call ourselves the Youngers anymore. Perhaps the Young Onions is it? I wonder if there is a group called the Young Onions. And imagine if they were like a people booked them without researching what they were like, because obviously they've had this such an endorsement. So they get them at the folk club and they think, this is weird, they're turning up with amps and things like that, and then it turns out they're like a thrash metal group or something like that. So thank you very much for listening, and we shall be back in a very short period of time. And I think if we had to sum up this week's Youngins podcast in one noise, what would it be? Would it be... Or would it be... I don't know, I think it probably, to be honest, I think if you had to sum it up, I think it would probably be this. Yes, definitely that. Right, thank you for listening. We'll be back next week, or thereabouts. Bye!
I love this. I'm actually giving myself... getting the key ready for Doctor Who. there we are, that'll do. Okay. And it is really good. This could make the secret track on the next album, couldn't it?
Excellent.
Okay, well, I'm going to do the start of the bass, and you're all going to have to join in. So we're going to start the bass, please feel free to join in. Here we go.
People have just turned off. For the drumming workshop. I'm so pleased we've missed an Armory workshop.
Oh, well, thank you very much.
We fulfilled his dream of being
you don't do rubbish. You were doing Doctor Who in a major key for a start. We'll practice, we'll be back next year for a Doctor Who workshop. Your radiophonic harmony workshop. Right then.